Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show. Sorry about that. Welcome to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, January the 17th of 2022. And I am your host, the Miracle Man Show, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And it is good to be back with you. I apologize for the late start. We had a little technical difficulty that we have figured out. Also, I do truly apologize for Wednesday night. It was my full intention, my utter full intention to be on the air with you Wednesday night. Oh, but my throat would not let me do it. In other words, I was even receiving a healing. I don't want to say I was sick. But what I will say is I was receiving a healing. And for those of you who may sit at home, and you may be thinking, by the way, this is whether you have cancer, whether you have heart disease, whether you have diabetes, whether you have, like something like that, or maybe you have had an injury or whatever, or what have you, and you might be saying, well, yeah, but I'm sick. Feel sick. Well, yeah, I'm hurt. It's really hurting my leg or whatever. God doesn't care. God's not. God doesn't focus more. It's not about the am sick or am hurting. It's about the we're healed. By his stripes, you were healed. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And with his stripes, you were healed. You were healed. And so, that's why I was not on the air Wednesday night. Thank you for believing God with me. And then yesterday, the last couple services, Thursday night and then yesterday morning and yesterday night, Dr. Barclay was not at my church like he would have otherwise been. Because, and let me tell you this, he was not there because he has been fighting a battle in his body, too, the last few days, the last week or so. And he was supposed to be in Texas today, and then later on this week, too, to speak at a certain minister's conference. I hope he went. I pray he went because it's important that we have the general going out to speak to those ministers at Dr. Copeland's minister's conference. And he's a general among ministers. He really is. But I truly do want to thank you for tuning in. However you heard about us, however you found us, I'm just so grateful. I really am grateful that you have found us. And it is a blessing that you just keep tuning in. And for those of you who are new to this program, maybe it's your first time, second time, third time. Maybe you're just getting acquainted to the program as a new listener. Well, we're glad to have you too. And I have to say, praise God for that, because we are believing God to keep growing the amount of listeners who listen to this program, because I want it to keep growing. I'm believing God to, at the very least, double the amount of people listening to the show. This is 2022. The way I see it, it's supposed to be the year of double, a year of double. Amen. And I believe that. With today being the third Monday of January, that means that today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's the celebration of his birth. Of course, as we know, he was he made a speech, and then it was, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up, and it will rise up, and it'll be a beacon of liberty, you know, for all walks of life, regardless, black, white, brown, and all these different groups of people. So why do you say groups? Why do you say races? Briefly, let me explain something to your listeners. The way I see it, there is one race. It's the human race. And, you know, unless you have a tail or something like that, there's one race, and it's the human race. Now, skin color may be different and what have you, but humans are humans, period. And so he was saying, but what Dr. King was saying, that in his dream, one day Americans would stand together. And they wouldn't be looking necessarily at the skin color. They'd be thinking of themselves as one. And there'd be in unity. Not all divided into different groups and classes of people. And so then he said, let freedom reign. Let freedom reign over the hills and the mountains of Tennessee. Let freedom reign in the hills of Mississippi and all these different places that he was calling out. But he was a true icon in America. He was a true icon in America. He wanted to make a difference. Just like Rosa Parks, who made her stand and is seen as, of course, Rosa Parks, she died in 2005. here in Michigan, in Detroit, Michigan, back in 2005. But Dr. King really was a person that had a dream for this country. And I know people try to twist it different ways and all that, and all this kind of stuff, but we should be united as a country, not all divided. We're not supposed to be divided as a country. Right now, we have different, the way I see it, we should want certain things, you know, that we should all want to be free. I saw something today, listeners, like only an hour or two before I got on the show tonight. It showed that 55%, no, like almost 50% of people in a certain political party, people who say that they're Democrats, 50% of them want people to be told that they can't leave their house. People who would not take a certain vaccine, or who spoke against a vaccine on social media, or whatever. They want it to be so that these people cannot leave their house and cannot they can't leave their house unless it's an emergency. And they want to make it so that those who won't take the jab or talk against it, or that they get fined and all these different things that they're for. I'm not saying that there's bills necessarily, but it's just a poll that was taken. Folks, that's not freedom. In fact, separating people like that vaccinated versus unvaccinated, that is segregation. It is. And I would hope that Dr. King, I hope that he is rolling over in his grave when he hears about this, because shouldn't be based on whether you're vaccinated against COVID or what have you or not. We're supposed to be free in this country, the land of the free, the home of the brave. And I thank God for governors like Greg Abbott of Texas, Ron DeSantis of Free Florida, and others for taking that stand for freedom. And saying we're keeping free. We're going to keep the state free. Amen. And I thank Jesus for that. And it's not just something that I'm saying or thinking. No, I truly mean it when I say that, because I want us to be free as a country. I really do. Amen. And so, that's what I'm going to say about that. And so plans for tonight is that sing a couple songs, and then we'll get into the word, and then we will have, you know, we'll discuss what we read and we'll, and all that, like we normally do. And then we have a sports update to talk about based on what happened in the world of football, of the NFL this weekend. And we will have that discussion at that time. But first, I have an announcement. This first one is actually a new one. It's in regards to an event on Sunday here in Midland. There is a Right to Life march and speech get together being held in downtown Midland, starting at the courthouse and then ending at St. Bridget's Catholic Church. There'll be a march from the courthouse to the Catholic Church, in which there will be, at which point there will be a speech from my mother about the right to life. And then, yeah, there will be a speech from my mother after the march, and there will also be a song from, oh, some Miracle Man River Shukla guy. I don't know who that is. I don't know. Some of you might know him. Maybe you don't know him. I don't know anything about him. I don't know. But he'll be there. 2 p.m. Meet at Midland Courthouse. No, the march is at 2. Meet at Midland Courthouse beforehand. And then have at it. It'll be a good time. You're more than happy to join us if you would like to. And this right to life thing is really important. And my mom was telling me about that. And some people might think, you know, oh, you're a guy, you don't know. Oh, really? I myself, my mom was given a choice. When I was born, they told my mom that I'd be born with these certain things, civilities and what have you, and she's like, okay. She's like, well, she's like, okay. They're like, do you want to get to have the chance to live, or do you want us to abort it? My mom said, well, I want him to live. And I thank the Lord that my mom made the right choice for me. And that's all I'm going to say about that at this moment. But be there, Midland County Courthouse, downtown Midland, just before 2 p.m. on Sunday. You want to hang with us, march with us, dress warm. It's going to be cold. But it's Michigan. We're not going to scream about the cold. No. But nonetheless, come be a part of it. Come be a part if you want to. Also, the next announcement I want to remind you of is the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how gracious God has been over the years of my life. And it chronicles different things that have happened in my life. And how gracious God has been. How wonderful God has been. It has been miracle after miracle after miracle in my life. And I know God's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. He hasn't failed me yet. And I see no reason why he'll fail me now. You can go read the book. Order the book at the website, riversofmiracles.com. Again, that website is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, ofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. Amen. The other thing I want to remind you about real quick is our PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man show, the Miracle Man program. And when you sow a seed into this program, you're sowing into good ground. You don't even have to think about, okay, what kind of seed is it? You know, what kind of ground is it? It's good ground. And I use it for the work of God. Whenever you sow into this program, I use it for the work of God. The work of God. Amen. It's what I use it for. You can use it for what you want. It's up to you. You don't want to use it for the work of, I mean, but how for you sow it into good ground like this. Amen. Because I tell you, this is good ground here. It really is. Praise God. And then it's just a great thing to sow a seed into this program. And when you do, I always pray over that seed, that God bless your seed. I mean, that God bless you for sowing the seed. And it's not just something that I say either. And the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is where it says, therefore, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Amen. I fully believe that. And I curse lack. I curse poverty. I curse unemployment. I curse all these things from off your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to get into some worship. And so, water you turn into wine, open the eyes of the blind, there's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise, there's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shone. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Oh, what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Oh, what could stand against? Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved, and my portion here as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word will endure. He will my sheep and portion his. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love. Amazing grace. We've been there 10,000 years. But God is rich in harmony. From the hour I first believed, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My God, my Savior, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God has in bosom will be forever mine. It will be forever mine. Lord, you are forever mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I will walk a path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. I will never be. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I will walk a path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. Fall like fire, soak like grace, flow like mighty waters again and again. Heal away the darkness, burn away the shadow, and I burn to glorify your name. There are higher heights, there are deeper seas, whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory of God fills my life, and I will never be the same again. Oh, my God, soak like grace, flow like mighty waters again and again. Heal away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and may burn to glorify your name. Oh, like fire, soak like grace, flow like mighty waters again and again. Heal away the darkness, burn away the chaff, and burn to glorify your name. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed the door. I will walk a path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. There are higher highs. There are deeper seas. Whatever you need to do, Lord, do in me. The glory, oh God, fills my life, and I will never be the same again. I will never be the same again. I will never return. I've closed that door. I will walk a path. I'll run the race. And I will never be the same again. And I will never be the same again. And I will never be the same again. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master, that you are with us. We won't be the same anymore. We're not the same anymore since we met you. Thank you, Lord God, that you are here working in us. You're on the inside, working on the outside. Thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to be the same anymore after meeting you. Thank you, Lord God, that you can save a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you make a way for us when there seems to be no way. I'm thankful for what you've done for me, that you've kept me alive through all these years. And I thank you, Lord God, for your hand upon us, your hand upon the lives of every one of these listeners who has made the determination to tune in to this broadcast tonight to learn something about you. Thank you, Lord God, that you reveal yourself to these listeners tonight, wherever they are, whatever they're doing right now. Hopefully they're paying attention to me. Thank you, Lord God, that your word will be made known. You're revealing yourself to these listeners right now. And I give you praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. And thank you that you calm these storms that are going on right now in the lives of these listeners. Peace be still. Yes, Lord God. Thank you for your mighty presence. Your mighty presence. May we not take it for granted in our lives. And if we've been taking it for granted, may we stop doing that. And thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in us, what you're going to do. And now I thank you for this word tonight, that this word will run free course in us tonight. Thank you that you're using me to deliver this word, that you're using me as an oracle to deliver your word. And I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to do whatever you want to do. If you want to interrupt me, Holy Spirit, go on ahead. Do what you want to do. And thank you, Lord God, for these listeners tonight, that you're meeting the lives, meeting the needs of every listener tuned into this broadcast tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that when I don't know needs these listeners have, you know what their needs are. And I thank you that you meet their needs. And Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now that you're strengthening them, strengthening these listeners. And now, Lord, that you just meet them right where they are, right now. And now I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program, that finances come into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom, Lord Jesus, as a result of this radio show program, in Jesus' matchless name. Let's make our Bible confession right now, because the Bible says we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. And I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It is more than a religious book to me.
and it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go with me, please, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 9. Woo! Amen. Acts 9. And I'm not going to read the whole story of Saul. Being converted. Start with verse 10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas, which is on Straight Street, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all of the harm that he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry out my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once, he began to speak in the synagogues. And he preached that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished, and they asked, well, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners by the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews that were living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. After many days had gone by, the Jews conspired to kill him. But Saul learned of their plan. Day and night, they kept close watch on the city gates in order to kill him. But his followers took him by night and lowered him in a basket through an opening in the wall. When he came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told him how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him off to Tarsus. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit and grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Verse 32. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take care of your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when it's translated is Dorcas, who was already doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All of the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. No, listeners, this was not the tanner where you go to get tan like at the gym. It was separate from the gym. Let's look at least the first part of time. At Caesarea, there was a man who was named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. All his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him, and he said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants, and he told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and were approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He came hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles of the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of that vision, the men sent to Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them. For I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one that you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius. The centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all of the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them. And some of the brothers from Joppa went along. The following day, they arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and he had called together his relatives and close friends as Peter entered the house. Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. Talking with them, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. And he said to them, you are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without waiting any objection. May I ask who you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 4 days ago I was in my house. I was praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. Suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and he said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. She is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything you that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message that God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism John was preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth in the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. God was with them. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the country of the Jews in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. God raised him from the dead. On the third day, called him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to people, to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All of the peoples testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized in water? They had received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. What you see here, folks, is first we finished up with what had happened to Saul. Saul had been persecuting Christians, persecuting them. "Oh, you crazy people, what are you doing? Why? Who is you guy? Who is you?" Mocking, doing things that those who are trying to persecute do. Persecuting. In fact, at one point he was actually persecuting Jesus. He wasn't just going after people who were following Jesus. He was going after Jesus. He ends up falling down. And then there's that big flash of light. Who is that? Who was this? And then Jesus tells Saul, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Basically tells him, "Get up." But can't see by that point. And then for a few days, Saul is blinded. And then someone is sent to where Saul is. And then Saul's eyes are healed. Then he goes. And a few days later, guess what he's seen doing? Not persecuting, preaching. And over time, he's getting bolder, bolder, bolder. But of course, some of those people don't necessarily believe yet. They're not sure, you know, is he the real? Is this real? Because some of them are like, "Well, we saw this Saul dude going after us. We saw him going after Jesus. Persecuting Jesus. We saw him questioning us, wondering why we were doing this. We saw previous behavior. What's he doing now?" And then they ended up realizing, this is real. This is real. And sometimes, you know, when you get freed from something and you have a total life transformation, like through God, let's just say, for example, that you are a former alcoholic. We'll just say that you were known as an alcoholic, for example. And sometimes what you'll have happen, what you might have happen, is you might even hear you'll hear these other friends of yours who might have been like how you used to be. They might be like, hey, you want to come to the bar with us? Or you want to come to our house for some Jack Daniels or some Budweiser or some, do you know, different? Just using this as an example, that, like, then you might be like, no, I don't do that anymore. I'm free. I don't do that anymore. Come on, really? Someone will say, come on, are you serious? And then you're like, yep, I'm serious. I'm changed. I'm a new guy. I'm a new man now. What had happened to Saul, he didn't have the heart he used to have. He used to go about persecuting people, persecuting Jesus, going after him, threatening to kill him. You know what God did? Healed. He not only had his eyes healed, he had his heart changed. God had appointed him. God was using him as an instrument. God was using Paul, Saul, who would later become Paul, as an instrument. You know what? God has a purpose for us. For each one of us, God has a purpose. God has a calling for us. And if you're thinking, oh, I don't have a, my calling is just here on the earth, I don't have a calling from God necessarily. No, you do. You just have to find out what it is. And I don't mean that like to sound rude or anything. So I didn't say you do like that. But what I mean is, what I mean by that basically is, yeah, what I mean by that is, I mean, yeah, we've all had a calling placed on us by God. And it's up to each of us to find out, what is that calling? Am I supposed to be a preacher? A singer? What is it that you've called me to be for God? Got to where, but people were seriously afraid of Saul because they still thought that he was going to kill them. In fact, it got to a point where certain people wanted to kill Saul, who was not like that anymore. They wanted to kill Saul. They were not happy with him. They were astonished. Obviously, there were believers, though, who were very happy and were rejoicing about what had happened to him. But then there were others that were like, really? Really? Come on. No, just kind of saying that, you know, like being funny. But honestly, I'm sure that's what some of them were thinking. And it's not one of those things that I'm guessing either. It's just, it's one of those things that, that to me is like, I honestly think that they, that, you see, Jesus did a total transformation in the life of Saul. He went from persecuting to preaching within not a super long time. And God was using him to be a preacher. But some people were not believing. They were just, they were like, just, I don't know why they were like all afraid, but they were afraid of Saul. Now, later on, what we had seen too was, we had this thing with Cornelius and Peter, where Cornelius was told about Peter. Peter ends up showing up to Cornelius's house, and there's all these different people there. But first, Cornelius is in that trance and sees some real cool stuff and is told, you know, go, you know, to the house of Cornelius. And this other guy is told, you know, go to the home of Simon the Tanner, where this Simon Peter guy is, and go get him. And, you know, he's like, you know, go to that house, and he'll be ready for you. He'll be coming to see you. And so that you can go to Cornelius's together. Peter ends up going with them to Cornelius's house, and then he ends up telling them, these other people who are there, about Jesus. And Cornelius was God-fearing, and he had, you know, given all these big offerings. And God, you know, been talking to him too. And so this is Book of Acts stuff. What you're seeing, what we've been reading has been Book of Acts stuff. And we're going to just continue on with the Book of Acts tomorrow night. I don't know about you listeners, but I am loving this. I am loving this. Going through the Book of Acts with you, love it, with you listeners. This is powerful stuff. Oh, and then, by the way, oh, we had a real-life resurrection take place where this Tabitha lady ends up being raised from the dead. She had died, and she ends up getting not only healed. I mean, she ends up being raised from the dead. And all these people are there mourning, but then they end up getting kicked out by Peter. And then God heals Tabitha's body, and then she ends up getting up, coming back to life, and these people are so happy that she's back, and they can't believe it, and they're just so overjoyed. So you see, this is Book of Acts stuff. This is Book of Acts stuff. You can't make it up. And I don't know about you listeners, but I am enjoying this. I am. And the Book of Acts is just powerful. But it's real life. It's real stuff. Can't make up the Book of Acts. You can't. the Acts of the Apostles. And this is the kind of stuff we should be seeing. It is. And so, praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight that we will put this word to practice in our own lives, and that we'll be doers of this word and not hearers only. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen and amen and amen. All right. Football Central Express, let's go. All right. Saturday, you had, so the Patriots make the playoffs again. Just like how they used to when they had Brady. Oh, wait. Those Patriots have a different quarterback. So what do you know? They go to Buffalo and they get spanked. Like 34-13. And then also on Saturday, you have the Bengals take down the Raiders 26-19. Now for Sunday. On Sunday, in game one, you had the Bucks defeat the Eagles 31-15, and Brady did a nice job in that game, and they looked to be in good shape. And NFC game two, you had on Sunday, you had the Cowboys fell at home to the 49ers 31-23-16. Last night, Chiefs totally manhandled the Steelers. So Pennsylvania was ripped out of the playoffs. One by one. Then tonight we have the an NFC West showdown. Cardinals versus the Rams. My prediction for tonight. Ramcrux, 34-27. Arizona Ice Tea, 23. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.